What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, best AT in the galaxy. We've got Ivan Piera here. He has been with the LA Galaxy since it started, so over 10 years. He said he took a little break in the middle and then came back. But we'll talk a little bit about that. And this episode is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Piera, P-I-E-R-R-A. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Piera. So if you want to get a hold of Ivan, we'll give you his email down there at the bottom or down in the show notes. So that's the one way you can find that there. All right. So 10 plus years you've been with the Galaxy since they've started. So yes. Talk a little bit about how you got to the Galaxy, and then we'll talk about your job there at the Galaxy.
Okay. With the university at Cal State Fullerton, I did my undergrad and postgrad there. While I was doing my postgrad, there was a professional team at that time, before the MLS started, was the APSL. And they had a home team called the LA Salsa. And I became their athletic trainer when they first started there. With those 2 years, that's the that was in 92 and 93, and then 94, the U.S. men's national team was preparing for the 94 World Cup. And we would scrimmage them because they located themselves in Mission Viejo, which is a close proximity to Cal State Fullerton. So that was their closest professional competition that they could get on a regular basis. I got to know the athletic trainer there. Name is Rudy Rudowski, and we hit it off the bat. He invited me to help during the 94 World Cup. And then from after the 94 World Cup, that's when the MLS started taking shape and forming that. I knew the coach that they selected for the first year, and it was just basically me just being in the right place, the right time. Making the right, just doing a good job when it really mattered, and it opened up that doorway for me in the MLS, and here I am today.
Okay, so you said y'all were scrimmaging the U.S. men's national team. So during that time, like I did an internship with the Houston Texans, the NFL team there in Houston. During that time, did you really like go over and meet the athletic trainers and get to know them and say, hey, this is who I am and how can I learn from you? Or how did you kind of work that out?
Basically, it's always a form of creating bridges and getting to know everybody in the profession that you want to be a part of. I always knew I wanted to be a professional athletic trainer. At what sport? I wasn't sure. Soccer really wasn't my first idea in the sense of this is the sport I want to work as a professional athletic trainer. I knew I wanted to work in professional sports. Fortunately for me, was when we did scrimmage. I introduced myself, and basically we just shared stories, ideas. Got together. I got to know some of the players on the national team at the time. And then it just built a relationship to where, you know, there was a trust there that said that basically the head athletic trainer there knew that he could rely on me to help him out, you know, with the athletes at that time. But even before that, I always volunteered in many, many different aspects of athletic training, whether it's the basketball, football, even gymnastics. You know, during my college times, my undergrad and postgrad time, and just to build bridges and see where it took me.
It's such a key part of like every successful athletic trainer says. It's about who you know. It's the network. It's building the bridges. It's putting in the work. It's working hard all the time so that when those people do think of you, those people that aren't watching, they remember you. And so that's exactly the same thing you're saying. You worked hard. You built the bridges. You met people. You were doing the right things. And it just happened to be in the right place at the right time as well because you set yourself up for success.
Exactly.
All right. You said you took a break, came back as the sports science director or director of the sports science. So in the high school setting, we just have our athletic trainers. Yeah. Right? We don't have a sports science department. Yeah. So what is your sports science department?
So the sports science department is more of a broad aspect of everything that is used for preventative medicine. If you think about sports science, it's still sports medicine. Only the sports science part of it is you have the GPS, you have Omega Wave, you have all the different aspects that you monitor the athletes in. Ultimately, what you want to do as an athletic trainer, your job description is preventative medicine. So as technology gets better and as technology start to be integrated into sports, it's not just about how to take care of injuries, how to rehab injuries. It's more, you also have to learn what's the best conditioning aspect for the athlete in that sport. The best conditioned athlete is the healthy athlete. And so that's part of being an athletic trainer. And as a director of sports science, it just gives me a broader identity within the club to oversee what best takes care of the athlete, not just to improve their performance, but to also keep them on the field. Because a lot of these sports science driven usage in sports is about preventing the athlete getting injured. And so as a director of sports science, I make sure that everything that we have within the organization is helping the athlete. That's something that's not overused, underused, but everything that's just that identifies what you actually need within that sport and within for that athlete to do your job to the optimum. And it also encompasses you know, you have your directors for performance, but their job is to make sure the athlete performs at the highest level. As a director of sports science, sports medicine, your job is to make sure that they can stay at that high performance level so the performance coach can, or the performance director, can keep pushing them and pushing those limits.
So you mentioned the GPS. So looking at the GPS and you're looking at what they're doing in strength and conditioning through all the recorded data, and you're saying, okay, well, we know that if they run 50 miles a week that they're twice as likely to get injured, so we're going to back it down to, you know, the 40 miles a week or whatever it is. And then if they do this much training, then they get injured. But if they stay within this range, they're less likely to get injured, to stay healthier, to perform better.
Yes. Basically, and it's not a perfect science, because there's so many other parameters that affect the data that you get.
Right.
But at the same time, that is also another tool, an objective tool that you receive information from that you can present to the coach. You can present to other aspects of the organization and say, look, this is a rough idea predictor of what can happen to the athlete if we continue at this pace, or we need to increase, decrease, and it just gives us more of an objective view of what the athlete is doing on a daily basis.
All right. One of my least favorite sayings is, if you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Because yep.
There's things that I love about my job, but there's things that I really don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't, for me in the high school, we have to go sit in there while they do state standardized testing.
Yep.
And give the test. Nobody loves that, right?
Right.
But it's part of my job. And so what is it that when you wake up, you're like, I look forward to this at work. Like, I love going to work because of this.
Yep. Specifics are, you know, you work at a sport. I mean, I can't tell you how many, I'm over 50, you know, and I have friends that work in offices that, you know, and the thing is that, the one comment I always get is, I can't believe you get paid to work at a sport. I'm all, yeah. And for them, it's, you know, unless you're part of it, you really don't see the aspect of their point of view, because they're going to an office. They're going, you know, for whatever it is, that is not a situation where it's play. You know, ultimately, if you narrow it down to the generalist of forms, it's playing, mm-hmm. and it's a sport, and you're working, and it's putting a roof over your head. The excitement of a sport, high-level athletes, these athletes that unfortunately sometimes become, you know, your work because you're trying to get them better, they want to get better. They want to get better at the highest level, and that's just another motivating factor. And the other part of it is the banter, is the funny comments, quotes, different personalities. You can't get away with it in any other job.
Yeah.
Because it's stuff that you never want HR to come down and be part of, you know, because it's fun, really, sport, just good stuff that enlightens the day, and it happens every day. Even with the stress of management, or if you're not doing well, that never changes. That never changes. Maybe specifically with some players, but that part of it, the fun of it, the banter, the camaraderie, and then working up to for everybody to be together and to play at the optimum level of their ability in a sport, and you do it collectively with the coaches, the performance coaches, and the athlete itself. You're this one team that basically wants to succeed. You want to win. Everybody there wants to win. Obviously, you can't win all the time, but every week it's a motivating factor that you go into work and go, okay, what can I do to make sure that we are going to win? You know, what player needs to get better so we can win? And things like that.
Yeah, definitely enjoy the relationships. You know, it's a little different with the high school kids because you're not dealing with adults, and, you know, so it's got to be a little bit different. But it's still the same. It's when those kids come in to see me, or they, you know, crack jokes about something, you know, me slipping or farting or whatever it is that I did, and they're cracking on me, and I'm doing the same to them. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things are, like, really what you, like, I like this. This is fun. Yeah.
And you get paid for it.
Yeah. You get paid for it. Yeah. So what are some of the things that are really hard for you at work, some things that you don't enjoy?
Number one is just time away from the family. In a professional sport, when there's days off, you don't have, as an athletic trainer, you don't have days off because, you know, athletes need to get better. You know, we wouldn't have a job if athletes didn't get hurt. You know, so, but at the same time, days off for everybody else doesn't mean a day off for an athletic trainer, because there's always a player that needs extra work, whether they're injured or they have some deficiencies, or guys that don't play enough that need extra work to make sure that they maintain their physical level in order to be ready if they need to contribute to the team. That's really about it. The stress of at this level with management and coaches coming down if a particular player is hurt, that's all part of the job. But that's also part of you have to have the personality to observe that kind of stress, absorb that kind of stress, because that for me it's a motivating factor. So I enjoy it. I'm gonna bring it on. Let's go. What challenges do you have for me? For me, that's not part of it. The only thing that I, if anything, is basically the time away from my family.
All right. So what do you do? Are you ever able to take kids or family on road trips with you?
Yes and no. But they have to. But when you're on the road, your schedule's full. There's really no downtime other than the end of the night when you're about to go to bed. I'll bring my family with me, but they can enjoy a game. You know, they can be together, but I can't really spend a lot of time with them, especially as an athletic trainer. Athletic trainer, there's zero downtime because you're always either treating, you're practicing, you're treating, you're having meals, having meetings, and then you sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, that part of it, you're able to do it. It's not ideal, but you're able to do it.
But you're still getting to create those memories, and even if it's just sharing a hotel room with, you know, with them in Philadelphia or Houston or whatever it is, you're like, all right, well, you know, I'm glad you guys had a great day. Tell me about it, rather than, hey, what did y'all do at home, calling on the phone?
Absolutely.
And so it definitely makes a difference in creating those memories. So what are some of those things that you enjoy doing outside of work?
Another one, for me, I like to stay fit. So I work out, and I enjoy that, you know. But it's not just weight training. It's like, you know, I love running. I love playing sports. You know, we'll do pickup games for basketball and soccer. But I just enjoy physical activity. But the number one thing is because of my limited time, is just spending with my family, my kids. My kids play sports, being part of that, and obviously, time with my wife, you know, just the quality time. So,
gotcha. That's awesome. That's right along with my own heart there. Definitely all about the kids and the family, just the time together. You know, we have tournaments, so I'll take my kids up on the tournaments over the break, and they'll, a lot of times, since my kids are 8, 6, and 4 right now, my wife will come around noon or midday and like swap kids out, so I'll have one of them at a time during the day, that kind of thing. And actually, I thought about bringing my wife here to this trip so we could go to Orlando, or I mean Disney, or whatever it is, but we just didn't work out this time. But again, just as an athletic trainer, we're busy, but we got to be intentional and make that time prioritized.
Absolutely.
So however it works for your situation, just try and work it in. So all right, so as a member of PSATS, how have you benefited? How have you grown? And then how have you seen it grow?
Well, when we first started, obviously we didn't have the PSATS organization, but I think it was after the third or fourth year we started, you know, putting ideas together to form, you know, the same thing that the Major League Baseball has and the NFL has. Because for, you know, your greatest power is numbers. And for athletic trainers in general to grow any type of influence in a sport, it has to be in numbers, it has to be in groups, and PSATS has that ability, gave us that ability to have a stronger force within the organization. And yeah, as long as I've been around for you know, as an athletic trainer, that is huge, because we're still working hard to make our name. It's crazy for me to think that we still have to do our due diligence and work hard to get recognized and to be and to be taken seriously, you know, at every level. And I think the PSATs, forming the PSATs itself, helps us become gives us more notoriety, give us power in numbers to influence what we need to happen within the league, to make our voices heard. And it's worked, because it's changes. I mean, when we first started, I was the only athletic trainer on the team. We still had 20 some athletes that had to be taken care of, you know, but I was the only one, you know, doing everything. Compared to now, that at least there's some teams, you know, I have 5, 6 in staff, and other teams aren't as fortunate, but they still have at least 3, you know, 3 within each team. And it's a mandated thing now. Before, it's like, if we never mandated it and never pushed the issue as a group, ownership would probably still be lagging a little bit, just because, you know, money, it's all about dollars and cents to them sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and also the voice of the athletes helps us too.
So PSATS has advocated for you guys, or y'all as PSATS, and have created the mandate that each team has 3 athletic trainers?
At least two. But most of them have 3, along with some type of interns. So it's getting better. Some teams, you know, unfortunately, it's still a fight. But as we get as time goes, it's getting better, and right. and that's important. And also, identifying the other part of it too is identifying the sport itself in this country, and identifying the fact that there are athletic trainers, not just in the MLS, that also work the sport and are pretty diligent to be that athletic trainer that helps the sport, and to help, and to have this entity to help share information and share ideas and make it grow is a great benefit with PSATS.
All right. 10 years with the Galaxy. You said they're Fullerton, Cal State Fullerton, right?
Yep.
What funny stories, odd things, you know, like I've had a kid tell me that they put gasoline on a cut because they're from Mexico on a puncture wound or something like that. And it may have just been a breakdown in language that I wasn't understanding. But yeah. What kind of strange things or funny stories do you have working with soccer?
Well, soccer would – the one thing that tends to be that with soccer, there's no timeouts in soccer. So I've had quite a few instances where guys would have to go to the bathroom in the middle of each half. You can't sub them out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, especially if an important player. So it's one of those things where they run off the field, go to the bathroom, and come back out with as minimal time as possible. You know, and obviously everyone on the bench knows what's going on. Opposing teams have no idea. They maybe have an idea, but they don't know the specifics of why this athlete, you know, is going out. But, you know, there's particular the communication factor, and also the facial gestures that come out in the middle of a game when they have to go to the bathroom is priceless, and you just have to tell the coach, and the coach is going irate because you have to tell him that he's telling me he's got to go to the bathroom. He's like, what the? You're kidding me. I said, we're in the middle of a game. I was like, look, he's either going to do it on the middle of the field or we let him go out and get him out. So those are the ones that mainly stand out in the funny stories of that. But specifically, so many other funny stories that are basically within the banter that I tell you, that I talk to you about. Some of it's very sensitive that you can't talk about, but they leave you in stitches.
Yeah. All right, so I got to ask, is there a special hand signal code or something you have saying, hey, I got to go to the bathroom?
No, there isn't. I mean, the one thing for sure is there's a understanding that if you just pretend you're injured, you go down. So at least part of the time is stopped, you know, by everybody. And then you just try to get the business done as soon as possible. you know, obviously the coaches are not happy of it, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
All right. This episode is, again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Pierra, P-I-E-R-R-A. Ivan, I appreciate you joining us. If someone wants to get a hold of you, then they can email you at ipierra@lagalaxy.com. So, again, if you want to get a hold of Ivan, you can email him at ipierra@lagalaxy.com. Ask him questions. Again, obviously, great experience. And I appreciate you joining us here on the Sports Medicine Broadcast, and hope you enjoy the rest of your time here in Orlando.
Great. Thanks for having me.